Reading today is from John and chapter 4. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You're right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, life. Thus, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." In him, because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many became believers. They said, "You said, now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man, this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ."
So, I want you to begin by imagining she's in her early 40s. Let's call her Isabel. Now, Isabel has had a tough life. She had a really difficult relationship with her mother, and her dad wasn't around very much. Isabel is a wonderful human being. She has so many gifts, so much to offer, but she's never really acknowledged it. A colleague at work told Isabel that he's receiving counselling and how much it's helping him. Now, Isabel has heard of people going to counselling, and she's thought, well, what I'll do is rake up all the stuff she's trying to deal with and keep down. The counsellor will say, "Tell me about your childhood," and she'll have to bring all that stuff up, and she just can't face it. But things in Isabel's life, there's nowhere else to turn, so eventually she gives in, and she gives counsel. She's dreading it, but she survives the first session, and over the coming weeks, she starts to open up. The counsellor helps Isabel realise just how strong she is, of how she is worthy of love. Isabel starts to love herself, and her whole life starts to look very different, much brighter. She enjoys, rather than fears, time on her own. She explores her creative gifts, and she really starts to live life, accepting its difficulties and tasting its joys. For Isabel, her encounter with Stuart, her colleague at work, and then her encounter with the counsellor completely changed her life. And sometimes encounters that we have with people have the power to do that, the power to change things. Some encounters can make a huge difference to us. This morning, I want to talk about the difference that Jesus makes, how encountering Jesus changes your life. And I want to do that with the help of this morning's passage. So in today's reading, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at a well. A few things we need to know. Samaritans were hated by the Jews. The Samaritans were seen as a compromised group of people, a mixed race traitors by the Jews in Jesus' day. And Jews, by contrast, the Jews in Jesus' day saw themselves as a pure race, blessed by God. Now, Jesus was a Jew. I hope that's not news to you, but sometimes we forget that, don't we? Jesus was a Jew. So Jesus should not be speaking to a Samaritan. What does Jesus do? Verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" So firstly, the woman is a Samaritan. Secondly, the woman is, well, a woman. A Jewish man should not be speaking to a woman in a public place. Jesus' society was patriarchal and generally oppressive towards women. So there were these cultural restrictions that were in place. Avoid Samaritans, and by doing that you will please God. Avoid speaking to women in public, and by doing that you will please God. But Jesus goes way outside of these religious and cultural restrictions. The worldview at the time is clear. There are chosen people and rejected people. And if the chosen people want to stay chosen and special, they need to keep away from the rejected people. But Jesus does not accept this. So the first difference that Jesus makes is that Jesus accepts the rejected. In fact, he does more than accepting them. He loves them and includes them and welcomes them. Sometimes we all feel rejected. I think often in our society, older people can feel rejected. Our culture can say you're only valuable if you can earn money or look young or be active. And this cultural pressure can lead older people to feel ignored and rejected. But Jesus sees and loves and values everybody, older people included. He values their wisdom and their experience. God sees older people and he loves them not for just what they can give, but because they are his sons and daughters. Sometimes we feel rejected because we're not successful in the eyes of the world. We're not clever enough or rich enough or good-looking enough or happy enough. We think we have to be perfect and have it all together. But Jesus loves us without any of that. You are enough, exactly as you are, with all your faults and doubts and fears and questions. Jesus isn't waiting for you to qualify for his love. He loves you. You do not have to prove yourself. The difference that Jesus makes is that he accepts and loves the rejected. Now, this conversation that Jesus has with the woman has parallels with last week's passage, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus was talking about new birth. And Nicodemus was very confused. He was saying, well, how can you be born twice? You're just born once. And today, Jesus is talking about water. But he's not really talking about water at all. Just like last week, he wasn't talking literally about birth, and so here he isn't talking literally about water. In this week's reading, Jesus asks the lady for water, and then he starts talking about something completely different, and he calls it living water. He says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, referring to natural water. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is talking about something much more life-changing than literal water. Jesus is saying, what I have to offer will connect with the deepest part of you, and it will open up a spring inside of you that will start to flow. Whoever drinks the water I give them, says Jesus, will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So Jesus gives this gift. We receive it. And in receiving it, it becomes something self-perpetuating. It flows into us and then flows out of us. And the flow leads us and those who receive it into what Jesus calls eternal life, a different way of living called eternal life. Jesus offers us life with him. He says, come, follow me, receive from me. And as we enter into that relationship, that receiving with Christ, we connect with this deep well. And it's who we're meant to be, who we're meant to be fully. The Samaritan lady was suppressed religiously and culturally by her society. And we discover that her personal relationships are, well, let's say messy. She's had five husbands, and the man she is now with is not her husband. Now, Jesus knows this, but he doesn't reject her or make her feel bad about it. He doesn't judge her. He says this new life is available to all, even Samaritans, even women, even a woman with whom others would judge as being immoral and unworthy. So the second difference that Jesus makes is that Jesus loves without limits. And this limitless love has the potential to spill out of us. We receive from him in order to give to others. It's described as a well, like a natural spring. It's not described as a coal mine. You know, once you've kind of got out all the coal, that's it, it's done. No, it's something that keeps on giving. It's a spring within us, a well that keeps flowing. So we receive his unending love, his eternal life, and we're enabled to love without limits because we are now part of that eternal, unending life. Now, it's not easy. We have to do the work of being open to receive in the first place. We have to accept the gift. We also have to do the work of loving people. We have to give the gift. But it is unlimited. This love is unlimited. The more we love, the more love there is. So the Samaritan woman is accepted by Jesus. Jesus tells her that she has it within her to receive from God this deep love and to give out this deep love to others. Then Jesus tells her that he is the one who has come to save. He reveals that he is the one to save people from oppression, to save people from separation from God, and to save people from death. And of course, everything he does and says fits in with this. So she then heads off back into town to tell everyone that she has met the Messiah. It says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And later it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard it for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The woman goes and shares the good news. It spills out of her like living water. She can't help herself. It's like a natural spring. And others hear it, and they come to Jesus, and they believe. They want to taste this living water too. The third difference that Jesus makes is that Jesus invites us in and sends us out. We have heard that Jesus is the Messiah. I assume that if you're here in a church on a Sunday morning, that's not news to you. And maybe there was a point when that was new knowledge, when it felt exciting and transformative. And maybe now it feels a bit flat, a bit old hat. And if that's how you're feeling, I want to encourage you to receive again the living water. Because it's not a one-off taste. It's a continual spring that keeps on going. Connect again to the deep well. When the world seems in chaos, as it does at the moment, we need to connect to the deep well that is God's love. Jesus came to show us that connection is available to us. He came to show us that we are accepted, not rejected. He came to show us that he loves us without limits, and that limitless love, eternal love, eternal life is available for us. Jesus came to call us his own and to send us out to share that love with the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus' encounters with people and for the words of hope and light that he spoke. We thank you that those words are for us too. So help us, Lord, to receive from you that living water. And may it indeed be a spring within us that pours out light and hope and love to all around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.